previously on Wisco Weekly.
Consumers of cars, whether we own them or lease them or whatever, their perception of what their car means to them is changing quite a lot. It used to be a possession which had many other roles in people's lives. It was about status and convenience and freedom and all of those things. But that was just around the car itself. What we see now is that people expect their car to be kind of a mobile office, a mobile conference room. They expect to be completely connected with the outside world, whether it's because they're streaming music or listening to your podcast as they drive, etc. So a lot more emphasis has swung around into what it means to be inside the car.
And on this episode,
what we know about podcast advertising is that it works. 90% of people who have listened to an ad say they've acted on it. 90% of people who listen to podcasts don't skip the ads. When they're done right, they are part of the content. And the whole nature of a podcast is that when people listen to a podcast, they care about the host, they care about the topic, so they care about the advertisement.
This is Wisco Weekly, an automotive business podcast sharing the voices of automakers, automotive retailers, and transportation professionals who are driving and shaping the future of automotive.
You are now tuned in to the Wisco Weekly Experience.
Brown chicken, brown cow, listeners, hello. I'm so happy. I'm in a good mood anytime I come from Orange County to downtown LA, and not only just downtown LA, but I come to One California to the Nixon Peabody office. My good friend, transportation host Rudy Salo is with me. Rudy, hello, how are you, sir?
Thank you for making the trip out of and behind and from the Orange Curtain, Dennis. We love having you up here in the enlightened land of LA.
You wanted to pick a fight with me because I drove here instead of taking the train here.
I'm very upset. You promised me that you were going to take the train here. And I laid out a plan for you, and I'm disappointed in you.
I had all the intentions in the world to take the train. I had to send out a couple emails that put me back. And I understand these are excuses, but I think this is part of my struggle, and I'm sure other people struggle as they try to switch from a personal ownership of a car, or having personal ownership of a car, to using some kind of transit system. And that is, it's too easy for me to say, you know what, I have some last minute thing to do. Let me hold off on public transit and let me just get in my car because it's easy. It's easy.
What did you do while you were driving? Did you accomplish anything besides maybe entertaining yourself?
I had a couple calls. Also, I listened to some podcasts.
Okay, so do you think that you maximized your effectiveness and you were most productive in that drive?
Relatively speaking, I thought I made the best use of my time given this situation.
All right, I got a question for you since it's a topic of discussion today. How did you entertain yourself in the car? If you weren't being productive, I want to know like how you kept yourself busy while you were driving, probably through horrible traffic.
Traffic actually wasn't that bad, surprisingly. And this is the second time now coming up to LA where there wasn't a whole lot of traffic. But again, I there was a couple calls I was on. Those took, I don't know, almost an hour long. Then in the background, I was listening to a couple podcasts, kind of changed up. I have ADD in the car.
Listen. I'm not gonna pass the blame on you. Just like last time you came up to LA, I also drove today, but that's because I had a lot of heavy equipment and I gotta stay late.
No,
I'm making excuses
look at you,
too.
Shaming.
Yeah, well, okay. You know, normally I would have taken public transportation here. But you know what? I wanna tell you something. One of the reasons why I didn't is because the topic that we're talking about today, it's about the future of transportation. Primarily in a car, but I would like to expand that a little bit and make that future of entertainment in whatever mode of transportation that you're using.
Well, listeners, again, welcome to Wisco Weekly. This is the podcast where we share the voices of automakers, automotive retailers, and transportation professionals who are driving and shaping the future of automotive. Let me introduce today's guest. Today's guest is Maddie Stout. He serves as the Vice President of Podcast Programming for iHeartRadio, and under his watch, he oversees the content of more podcasts than anyone else in the world. Talk about world domination. 1,400 podcasts and counting. He's put in work at some of the biggest companies in media, including 10 years at CBS Radio, 3 years with Stitcher, 11 years with his own podcast publishing company, Maddie Media, and 7 years with Urban Nights Radio, the campus radio station of the Academy of Art University. Not to be outdone, he even scored a gig to be the voiceover artist for Maddie, the reporter in the Pixar movie Cars. But his true passion is helping others get into and grow in the field of podcasting. He obtained his bachelor's in creative writing from West Virginia University and his master's degree in communications from Southern New Hampshire University. Here to share insight onto the future of in-car entertainment, men, women, and children. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Maddie Stout.
Can I have you go with me everywhere and do that introduction? I want to know me. That's fast. That was a great intro.
Email that to him so he can pay people.
I'll send you the audio clip, and then every time you go somewhere, you could just play on your phone. Then.
Thanks. No, it'll make my job a lot easier when I go to radio stations and work with talent, so I don't have to do the little song and dance. I'll be like, hey, just listen to this. Yeah. Now bow and know that I'm a badass. And
you are a badass.
I'm a podcast badass. I also drove.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the driving, but what we are really going to focus on is what Dennis is right about to bring up.
Well, speaking of you driving, I think this kind of gets into one of the things I want to ask you, and that is because you have been heavily involved in podcasting, but radio as a whole for so long. I know that in previous conversations, you and I were big fans of Cars. We might decrease our the amount of cars in our household, but we won't give it up. So I guess I'm curious on your end, how do you believe podcasting will play a role in your future modes of transportation?
Well, I think to start with, you just have to talk about why podcasts are so loved and why people listen to them. You know, a great podcast creates empathy, and podcasts are a companion. Their entertainment, their education. There's a dramatic rise in people feeling like everything is negative right now when it comes to media. Mm-hmm. People don't feel like that about podcasts. And there's a reason why the podcasts are rising at the same time, and it's because of that. It is a place where you can lose yourself and find entertainment and topics that really speak to you, specifically to you. I mean, there are almost 600,000 podcasts. I don't care what you're into. There is somebody with a microphone somewhere talking about it and putting it out as a podcast. And I think that's what's really great. You know, so, you know, when you're on that long car ride, not only can you listen to podcasts as entertaining, but you can be educated on things. You can learn about things. I think it's a fantastic. I think it really helps me have more faith in society. The fact that podcasts are so popular right now and popular with young people. You know, that they're engaged with conversation and they're engaged with learning things.
Yeah, dare I say something that I'm focused on, and I'm seeing this played out in some universities and other educational institutions going bankrupt. I've been constantly telling people I don't know if the future of education is going to be what it's going to be because of media and because of the access that we have to information. And one of those things is podcasting. A lot of people are learning from podcasts. You can, whatever type of history you want to get into, there's a podcast for it. Whatever kind of learning you want to get into, there's a podcast for it. I do believe that the younger generation learns a lot from podcasts. And that may or may not bode well for the future of education being in an old school building.
Why do you guys think that podcasts are popular with the younger generation, considering the fact that what the internet society has done is give us a shorter attention spans, but yet now you have podcasts that are very long form narratives, and yet you can have a younger generation tune into that?
Well, I think it goes back to why people read books and why people have always read books and using their minds to build a story and to go to a place that you're not in at the moment. Younger folks especially, I teach at a university, and they're constantly immersed in something, in a conversation somewhere. You know, they're online all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think with a podcast, it's where they can actually turn their brain off. And everybody needs to turn your brain off from time to time. And I'd rather it be podcasts than having them shooting up the heroin.
Yeah, I
like that's the polar opposite. Either shoot your brain, turn your brain off, or shoot heroin.
Yeah, no, those are the two choices. It's becoming a junkie or listen to podcasts. Well, if that's the path, and if people are choosing podcasts, we're in the right area to be in. Dennis.
Amen, amen. Well, man, you know, one of the challenges with podcasting, right? So you have your podcaster, you have your podcast listener, because podcasting is a new digital medium. There are certainly a lot of companies, specifically advertisers, that are looking to get into this space. But because it's so easy to self-publish, and immediately upon self-publishing, you have a worldwide distribution, it makes it much tougher for an advertiser to target their regions that they can be more successful in. So can you maybe share with us what are some of the different advertising methods that companies can get involved in with podcasts?
Well, I think... you know, iHeart is an example of a company that does dynamic insertion and also can help you target.
Can you explain what dynamic insertion
is? So dynamic insertion is I have an ad and I want to receive a certain amount of impressions for that ad. So I can buy a number of podcast hosts to read the ad, and then that ad also gets fed into all the other podcasts that they've done. So if a lot of times you don't notice it, you just think, well, that's just the ad that they're doing.
That's
the host that's reading it.
Yeah.
And then you go back and listen to one that's 3 weeks old, and you're like, oh wow, that's the same ad there. But most people don't notice that. Podcast listening, happens. A lot of it comes within a year from people searching for things. So people find it a topic and then they find the podcast, and it's not always the most recent podcast. So that's why it's really important to do ads that are dynamically inserted into podcasts. I think that we're seeing a more conglomerated world happening with podcasting quickly. We launched Stitcher 10 years ago. You know, we looked at this, you know, this $300 billion industry that is radio and said, hey, we can have a big chunk of that. It didn't happen. It didn't happen until really recently, the last couple years, where it's been more figured out. And we're still, and I hate this term, but it is true, the Wild West stage of podcast advertising, where we're still figuring out how it goes. Mm-hmm. What we know about podcast advertising is that it works. 90% of people who have listened to an ad say they've acted on it. 90% of people who listen to podcasts don't skip the ads. When they're done right, they are part of the content. And the whole nature of a podcast is that when people listen to a podcast, they care about the host, they care about the topic, so they care about the advertisement.
You know? I'm a big fan of, for instance, the Adam and Dr. Drew show. And I think part of when I hear their ads is because it's host read, they insert their improvisations into it and it makes it funny. And so it's almost like, yes, I know True Car is one of their big sponsors. And it's like every time I hear them read that ad, it's like I want to hear what they'll say differently.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's for advertisers, though, there is a lot of old school, you know, thought that goes into advertising. And a lot of advertisers are like, well, no, I need this bullet point and this bullet point and I need this. And I always tell folks, listen, podcast ads they don't work that way. You need to have conversation. They need to tell a story. And, you know, when we work on, you know, I work in branded content as well. And one of the things I tell folks is that, you know, when you think about an advertisement in a podcast, you're really selling the value of the company and making people like the company. It's not all about go buy Doritos. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's Doritos are fun because they're on my favorite podcast. You know, mm-hmm. they sponsor my favorite podcast. That makes me like Doritos even more. I don't need you to tell me, you know, everything about Doritos and if they're on sale and where to go buy them. You know, that's more of an old school approach.
You actually kind of bring up almost like two forms now of methods of quote unquote advertising. There is the traditional route where a company just inserts, you know, their content or has the host read the content on the podcast itself. But then there's the ability for a company to also almost do their own branded podcast.
Yes.
Because I'm sure there's lots of companies who waver if that is a good route because they just don't know if it's worth the investment to do. How would you advise these companies that are on the fence to say, you know what, jump in?
Well, I think it's hard to, like, you know, kind of cast
a wide net
on it. But I would say that, you know, if you've got a brand and you want to grow the value proposition of the brand, and I know that's marketing ease there, but that's really when the branded stuff works well. And it's also if you want to get into the content game and you want to have some content that is yours, that, you know, you can proudly say that you created. That's where branded comes in, and the cost for branded can range from all over the place. You know, my little company, Maddie Media, you know, we're on the lower end of the cost spectrum because I work mostly with companies that want to do interviews and things like that with CEOs and different things.
Lower end for now.
For now. But if you were to go to a company like Gimlet and try to do branded content, you're looking at millions of dollars probably to get the content done and distributed and all that stuff. But again, when you look at the value of a podcast versus a video, it stands the test of time. Podcasts will be there for a long time and people will be listening to them for a long time. You know, I use Serial as an example. There were 3 years where Serial wasn't putting out a new episode, still top five in the iTunes list because people just went back to find it and listen to it. So if you put out a good podcast, that's the point of it.
You know, one of the challenges though with podcasting, and maybe you have some greater insights on other businesses out there that are doing this, is searching for podcast, or, you know, having some kind of podcast search engine where you're not searching the name of the show, but you're searching the content. From what I've seen, it doesn't seem like there is a service out there. I think Listen Notes may do that, but again, if you're wanting to search keywords, is that available somewhere?
Well, Google has done a fantastic job of pushing podcasts to the top. That was something that they made an effort at doing, and they launched that last year at Podcast Movement. They really put a lot of time and effort into it, and I think a lot of it was to really push Google Podcasts up. Google Podcasts has not been still not a real popular platform.
Why is that?
I think that with Android users, a lot of them use Stitcher. A lot of them have found other things to use other than Google Podcasts. They've kind of worked around the Apple thing. But I don't really, you know, I don't have a good answer for that. But I do know that the effort that they put into it has been very beneficial for podcasts. And it's one of the things when I work with podcasters, I always tell them, like, you know, don't throw away your titles of your episodes. You know, if you're going to do an episode and you're going to start it off with episode 5 and then whatever, you're killing your search. Mm-hmm. Search, put the most important words at the beginning of your titles, just like you would if you were doing, you know, a written blog post. And then in the show descriptions, you know, always making sure that you're getting keywords in there. 70% of podcast listening happens within a year from search.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, Rudy, are you okay? You got a lot of, like, post-it notes going on over here.
Well, much like I was saying about education, and you can learn a lot from actually listening to a podcast, I'm learning a lot just by hearing Maddie talk. So right. I have tons of notes. I'm going to become a branded content expert just by talking to this guy. So yeah, please continue. I'm just sitting here learning.
Okay, well, I guess I do want to get more into this branded content, because this is something that you do teach at the Academy of Art University. Tell me more about your role over there and what you're doing. Go ahead.
Or another way to do that, Maddie, is to, like, I have a company, right? I represent a lot of clients that have small companies. Maybe perhaps they do want to get into the content game. How does the whole process work? Like, what happens? They reach out. Let's say they Google branded content. Maddie Media is there. It's within their price range. What happens next?
So what I do is I often will sit down with the client and make sure it's the right fit first, because if it's not, it's not. You know, if somebody's coming to me and like, hey, we want to sell X amount of units and we want to do a podcast to do it, I will immediately say, this is not for you. There's no sense doing a project if you're not going to succeed at it. And the other thing is to not get hung up on, you know, how many downloads you're going to get. You know, the fact is, you know, you build good content and then you distribute it and you find out different ways to do it. So I was talking to one company that is, I won't say the name of the company, but they make a organic soap that is pretty popular. And I asked them what their, you know, their values were. And they talked about having art being one of their values, and the bottle is artistic and form, and then also that, you know, being made in America. And it was like, okay, here's a couple ideas for a podcast. One is we do a podcast about form. It's nothing to do with soap, but it has to do with that. That comes back to that. And the other one is, you know, focusing, doing one where we talk about companies who are staying in America and building the factories in America. Again, so two different ways that could, two completely different podcasts, but for the same company that could have brand value to it.
Is there, you know, in terms of then how a brand tells their story, is there such advice you have or tips or guides you would have for a brand to tell their story?
Yeah, but that will cost you.
Yeah. Dennis, where's your checkbook?
No. Do you take Venmo?
No, here's the thing. I think that...
I mean, if you were to give, let's say, your top three tips, again, you don't have to give away everything. You can, these three tips could be maybe number 70, number 50, and number 25.
You know, be honest. You know, podcasts are the world of honesty. I tell that to my hosts all the time, especially the radio hosts who, in some cases, play a bit of a character on the radio.
Yeah.
I will listen to their podcast and call them up and say, you lied about that happening last weekend. And then they'll say, how did you know that? I'm like, because I've been listening to your podcast for 2 weeks and I hear your voice. I know when your voice changes. They did a study at Columbia where they told a lie with video, audio, and writing. And the lie came back more times, like in massive numbers from audio.
Hmm.
You know, it's a true
Rudy, meeting. Have you gotten any nasty emails, people saying that every time they hear your voice, they're like, you're lying?
See, I agree with my man here, Maddie. I never lie. I am who I am. You know, I the words of the great philosopher Popeye, I am what I am, and that's all what I can be, or whatever he says. You have to be honest.
But
and I am a character.
Lawyer.
I'm conflicted. Okay, there's a lot of, I'm a man, Jesus. I'm a walking contradiction.
He's slowly devolving right now.
I'm not devolving. What's interesting is the fact that you can hear it more on audio because you can't see somebody's nose grow, which you can see in a video. I'm shocked to hear that you can hear it in audio versus video. Did they actually find that?
Yeah, the video is easy to fake. You know, people look
especially when you have when you get Botox.
Let's look at
fair enough.
Let me take the talking heads that are on TV news.
Sure, please.
And all this stuff. These are folks who read scripts on, you know, and they look pretty on TV. They read scripts, and you think you know their personality. If I put them in a room in a microphone, and they had to do a podcast with me for 2 hours, for, you know, like five podcasts over the course of 2 hours, I guarantee you, I will get the real them out. And yes. I will hear the real them, and I will know that whether they are being truthful or not. You cannot keep up the facade when you're doing audio or you're doing a podcast, if you're doing it right.
Yeah, if you're actually having a conversation between two people. I mean, if there was just one person that was speaking, so it was a single person podcast, they could probably continue the lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in addition to you knowing about, well, I guess you're not entirely done because you've only really given one tip right there. And is that the only one? Be honest.
No. I would say, you know, set your expectations, you know, properly for what you want from the podcast, and be prepared to do the work and pay for it. It can't be as simple as you think it is, as far as like, we'll just get in a room and talk and then we'll throw it up and call it a podcast. You can do that, but it won't be successful. The most popular podcasts are well produced. They sound good. When you have podcasts that doesn't sound good, your people then think poorly of your brand.
And let's talk about that really briefly, because I do think that's a vital point about production. Podcasts, while they are able to be accessed for free right now, one way is that producers of such podcasts make revenue is to put advertisements on the podcasts. The more produced, the better sounding podcasts are. Like, this costs money, people. This costs time. Like, you got to just accept the fact that advertisements are going to be a part of it. And perhaps in the future, podcasts might not be free. I mean,
I hope not. And in fact, I think that's whenever I hear anybody use the term Netflix of podcasts,
right,
it makes me angry. We are not at a point in our industry where we can afford that. When we start putting podcasts behind paywalls and we start making it exclusive, we are really making it hard for the entire industry to succeed. So I am not a fan of that in any way, shape, or form. That is why iHeartRadio is an open platform. We will put your podcast on. You just, you know, Google, put my podcast on iHeartRadio, and you can go on the form and you can put your podcast on iHeartRadio. You know, one of the things that happens when you start putting things, you know, behind those walls. It just takes away from the listening. We don't have enough people listening to podcasts right now to do that. And I think that, yeah, you can do that with some content. But for our industry to succeed, I think it's a horrible mistake. And it's something that I'd really get mad when I hear people talk about doing that.
I agree with you right now. It's still tender. It's still a newborn. But what about in the next 10 years? We are talking, this is a future show. Maddie, what about the future? Will podcasts someday you have to be paying for them?
I think that there will be podcasts that you're going to pay exclusive content for. But at this point, I don't see that being the majority of what's happening. Because here's the thing. There'll always be somebody who can do a podcast that is as good or better than something that somebody's paying for, I think. I don't know how exclusive you would have to be with that content. Because here's the thing. Just because somebody is famous and they want to do a podcast doesn't mean it's going to be good. I'll call somebody out. Spotify paid a ton of money to have an exclusive content deal with Amy Schumer. Her podcast is terrible. I couldn't get through 10 minutes of it because it sounded like, hey, what does a podcast sound like? I don't know. Let's get three people together and sound like we're friends having a conversation. It was really not good. And I don't know if she's still doing it, but I mean, it was really not good. So you're spending all this money for something that you don't know what's good. It's also when people come to me and they're like, I want to get paid money to do a podcast. It's like, it's not how it works. You know, you got to prove that you can do it first because not everybody can do it. This isn't easy stuff.
Let's talk about the engagement and a little bit of the future of the podcast thing. I mean, I'm hoping that in the future with the way mobility is going and cars and technology, that podcasts are going to be like kind of more like not like a radio show, because a radio show is live, but there's going to be more interactiveness with podcasts. There was an interesting story that I found about an AI generated podcast, whereby the thinking is if you plug in a couple, it's a story, it's a scripted podcast more or less, where you listen to the first couple episodes and then you plug in a couple of things regarding, you know, it's almost like choose your own adventure, and then it'll produce what you want to listen to, so it's really interactive, so you can kind of hear AI more or less. You guys, is iHeart talking about this in any way, shape, or form?
No, not right now.
Okay. That is really futuristic, though.
It is. No, it's incredible. And I mean, somebody.
You're talking about our industry. You know, we still believe in the power of the human brain to pick out things. I mean, if you look at our radio stations, you know, they're programmed by people and not AI. So I think that, not that I don't think that there's some future in that. Absolutely, you know, if it works and people are into it, it's. Why not?
Manny, just out of curiosity, on the personal side, what are some of your favorite podcasts?
Reply All is my favorite. I love that podcast.
What is it about?
Reply All, it's a podcast about the internet. It was Gimlet's, outside of Startup, it was Gimlet's very first podcast. Mm-hmm. I just enjoyed
Startup or The Pitch?
Startup. Startup was the first podcast that Gimlet put out, because it was Alex Bloomberg actually building Gimlet. Mm. It's a great podcast. I think everybody should listen to
that. He recommended that to me. Mm. Yeah,
I think everybody should listen to that first season of Startup, and I think everyone should listen to S-Town if they haven't.
Great. Fantastic.
That's probably the best done podcast I can speak to. You know, I go through phases. I really like 30 for 30 podcasts. I listen to those all the time.
Did you listen to Dirty John?
I did. I the thing about Dirty John, it was one of those things where I just didn't care about the characters.
Okay,
like I just got mad. It's hard
to like people from certain types of people from Orange County, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't that right, Dennis? Being from Orange County, people, I don't mean to be picking on Orange County. I get what you're saying. It's hard to have that empathy.
Yeah,
I actually agree though. Like I tried to listen to that podcast as well, and I couldn't. I mean, again, yeah, all that story took place in Orange County, and I couldn't gravitate towards the characters.
And we've got some, I really have always enjoyed the How Stuff Works podcasts and
love
stuff
those.
You missed in history class. And Holly's awesome. She's one of my favorite people. And but there are certain podcasts styles that I don't like, and I will never get into. A lot of the podcasts are these, they did that Inside Jaws where it's scripted and it's telling the story of something, but with like kind of doing actors doing some of it. Those just drive me crazy. These are my personal choices. I don't like
Rudy, what are some of your favorite podcasts?
Well, there's one that I'm going to tell you how I got into podcasts is How Stuff Works. That made me a passionate podcast listener. I learned so much from How Stuff Works. I'm not even kidding around. And from the website, like, it was a really good dual content between the two. You know, if you want to learn more about it, you go onto the website. So that's a great program. I understand you guys have some relations now with them, or there was an acquisition.
Well, we own them.
Yeah,
They're part of iHeart.
That's great. I mean, fantastic. One that I'm listening to right now that I'm into. So I am into scripted podcasts, but there's one that I like that's scripted, kind of. It's scripted, yet it's radio improv. It's kind of like old school radio. So I'm the guy who listens on Sirius satellite radio. I listen to the old classic radio shows. And there's a really cool podcast right now called Deliberations. And the root of Deliberations is what happens in an actual jury room. So it's almost like take 12 Angry Men, but it's actors with no scripts actually playing roles of jurors in like cases that are scripted, but they're actually based on real life stories. It's a fascinating, fascinating podcast. Deliberations. That's one that I've been listening to lately.
Okay. You know, going back to some of your best practices, not just in talking about branded content, branded podcast content, but as a voice coach, how do you try to get the voice out of someone? How do you get their own voice out of someone? I mean, you work with a lot of students, and so I presume you do this often.
I think that, you know, with everyone, I always use an example of when I started in radio. I was 16, and I literally wrote out every break that I did.
I'm sorry, what do you mean by
that? I would write out everything that I was going to say on a break. So
it's
Q94, you're listening to me, Maddie, and that was Pink Floyd, The Wall, and let me tell you about seeing Pink Floyd last week. And, you know, I would write that all out. And then as I got more comfortable, I would bullet point things out. And then after a while, I didn't really need... as much guidance. But what I always say is that, you know, have a plan for what you're going to do and what you're going to say. And then within that, find a natural way to do it. You know, the key is to be conversational yet professional. And that's something that some people can do and some people can't. Here's the thing. Just because everybody can do a podcast doesn't mean they should.
Yeah, totally.
I worked in talk radio for a long time, and I would invariably go to a party and have some drunk person walk up to me and tell me how they could do my job, basically. You know, that they hear the show and it's like, oh, you guys talk about this and that and that. And I would always say thank you, because that means I'm so good at my job that you think you could do it.
Mm. You know what you should do? You should become a municipal bond lawyer. No, nobody wants to do your job. It's pretty sad. I just want to lay that out there. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, but they respect the fact that you put years into doing this and getting a law degree, where, you know, when you're doing entertainment and people just, it seems easy because you make it seem easy.
Yeah, fair. Okay, let's turn the tables a little bit. Rudy, you wanted to pick a bone with us drivers.
I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet. I think I'd still like to talk a little bit about. I want to hear. I mean, Maddie is.
I have a real question for you about this transportation thing too, as well. So
we
whenever
go
we
for
get
it.
To
we
no, go,
go
for it.
I'm not ready. I want to learn more about Maddie's imagination. Okay. I want to hear it.
I'm done talking about my imagination.
I want to hear about it.
I want to argue.
What's your perfect future entertainment in a car? Think about the car of the future, Maddie. You're the podcast guy. You like to drive, but what's your perfect, what in the future when you're sitting down in your car and you're trapped in traffic, because that's what happens when you drive all the damn time. What do you have at your dashboard? What's sitting there? What's at your fingertips while you're driving all that time?
No fingertips.
Fine. Okay.
I like Alexa. I have a little workaround app, little plug-in thing that I have in my car. I have Siri, but none of it is perfect yet. I want that perfect.
I want to be able to open
my car door, sit down, and tell the car to make it 72 degrees, tell it to play the podcast that I want to listen to, tell it to play whatever I want it to play and to listen to it, and have that be my experience. I want the car to be able to give me a suggestion for a podcast. Hey, find me a podcast about this to listen to and have that happen. These are all things that can happen now and are happening now.
Yeah,
but I just want, I would like to have it be a much more seamless process for everything. Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's you driving. Let's talk about the future of you taking an Uber. What kind of if you're sitting in the back seat, what about the future of entertainment in a car as a passenger?
I Uber more than most people because I travel a lot. So I'm in an Uber 6 times a week. I'll tell you what I like. I like talking to my Uber driver, you know, or reading. You know,
oh, he's one of those rarities.
Either I'm reading, or I think it's rude I don't like to have headphones on in a car when somebody's in the car. And the thing about public transportation is, I can't do phone calls on public transportation because I'm not a douchebag.
Fair enough. No, that's right. There's a code, and we'll talk about the code. What about this reading? Like, some people get motion sickness. Is the future like you can walk into an Uber and there's a screen on the back of something and you can automatically connect to it and read right to there? Is that what you're thinking?
No, I got my phone, man. I got my books on my phone. I don't really. It's pretty good now. You know, I'm so happy with technology right now, and I know it's going to get better and there'll be new things, but I'm pretty okay with the way things are.
I sent you both videos from CES, okay? I sent you a video that my friend took at CES. You walk into this autonomous car, and you can sit there, and you can interact with a comic book on the screens and everything. No interest to you two?
No.
None for
but,
me.
Okay, you know, fair part enough, of, fair enough. You know, fair speaking enough. Of listening to a podcast using public transportation, I will admit to you, I am the type that everywhere I go, especially with my wife, I'm always like, okay, beware of the active shooter situation. So on public transit, like, that's always what I'm thinking about. So therefore, it's hard for me to justify putting headphones on.
It's the fear. See, people totally. From Orange County just fear.
It's not just
listen,
Orange
listen,
County.
Listen, I spent
the fear.
Every day on BART in San Francisco.
There you go.
I took
here's
BART
San Francisco
every
and West Virginia.
Day. And every day on BART, I saw something horrendous.
Preach on it.
And I learned, you know, I knew right away when I would see people wearing headphones and zoning out on BART, I'm like, you're an idiot because BART's dangerous.
Look, I take BART every other week and I use it all the time. It's the only way I travel up in San Francisco.
It's disgusting.
It's dangerous, but I have two eyes and you just pay attention.
Well, you pay attention, but it's, you know, when you're listening to things and, you know, I like to be aware. I also enjoy somewhat of getting mad at people on BART. So when
I want to hear this.
When people
this
are
like
on
this.
Their phones or listening to music without a goddamn set of headphones on, get angry.
That is
annoying. And there's a part of me that has.
Hold on. It's okay for you to get angry. It's okay for you to get angry. But what do? Are you passive aggressive about it? Do you actually confront the person?
It depends on the situation and who the person is. I tell you what, I've gotten very unpassive about is idiots on the sidewalks with their damn scooters. I live in the mid-Wilshire, and these idiots on scooters on the sidewalks are everywhere. Not wearing helmets, going as fast as they can on those scooters, and I do yell every time, get off the sidewalk, get off the sidewalk.
Maddie, you should do that. All the companies, Bird.
They got to figure that out.
As a part of the policy, as part of you actually taking that scooter, you're agreeing to abide by the laws, and the laws say you're not supposed to be riding that.
Nobody does.
That's the problem.
Nobody does.
It's a problem. Enforcement. It's a problem. Actually following the law. That's why I argue for designated lanes. We need to figure out the problem. Scooters aren't going anywhere. Bikes aren't going anywhere. We need to have a special lane just that's protected from cars, and so people can feel safe. One of the reasons why I don't use a scooter as much is because, number one,
I'm
not cool enough. Number two, I'm terrible at balance. Number three, I keep forgetting my foldable helmet at home. And number four, like, I just don't feel safe. I mean, I just don't.
Okay, can we get into this? Like, I feel like let's lift the can off this thing. Let's talk about this beef here. Maddie, Rudy, you guys want to get into transportation and who uses what, why use
Let me start first.
I'm bewildered
a
little bit.
It's
I'm bewildered a bit.
No, Maddie brought up some very good points. BART is unsafe. I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you.
It's gotten worse.
It's very unsafe. Public transportation, there is less safety on it.
But is that the extent of your argument now?
I hope not, because that's weak.
Yeah.
No, I have no argument against public transportation. I'm a fan of public transportation when it's nice. My wife, when we lived in Hollywood, she took the subway to downtown every day. And I would have too, because it's quick, it's and nobody uses it here. And it's clean. It's not BART. It's a lot nicer. I like public transportation,
but you
I like driving. Mm. So, I mean, when I want to drive, I want to drive. And I don't ever want to live in a world where I can't do that.
Here, my friend, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to have another moment of connection with you. I don't like driving. I love driving. My favorite vacations are road trips. I just want to be out on the road. You want to know what I hate? Commuting. Because it's unproductive, it's unhealthy, it does, idling cars is what makes Los Angeles County the worst polluted city in the country.
Now see, I disagree that it's unproductive, because I get a lot of thinking done in the car. When I'm on the road a lot, I don't think as much as I do when I'm in my car. In my car, I put on music, I listen, and I get a lot of ideas and thoughts, and that is a zen time for me.
Yeah,
it's one of the few times where I'm not on a phone or looking at something or working. I can actually sit.
It's because you're comfortable with your thoughts. I guess that's where my problems are.
Yeah, but it's taken many years, and I got a few AA chips to show you. Like I am now.
Well, I certainly enjoy a Sunday drive where yes, you do kind of to get to turn your brain off, and then it's just like monkey see, monkey do.
Because I hate driving with my wife.
Oh yeah, you got to drive by yourself.
Tell me more about that. Tell me more about that.
No, my wife and I are terrible. We're fine. We do a lot of traveling together. Okay. We're very good at that, but. I'm always more distracted when somebody's in the car, so I tend to not drive as well. And she thinks I'm a horrible driver. Yeah. And my wife too. And I probably am when she's in the car.
Yeah, me too. Me too. That's the best way to describe it.
When she's not in the car, I'm Mario Andretti, baby. I'm all over the place. I know what I'm doing because I'm focused on it. It's like the difference between driving a car and riding a motorcycle. When you're on a motorcycle, you have to be paying attention.
No, there was an actual
study
done.
And no lane splitting. I hate lane splitting.
I do that all the time. There was a study done that there actually is particular car tech that helps drivers stay focused on the road. And one of the studies found that music actually helps people stay focused. And I mean, I'm all about when I'm driving in my car and it's just me and I'm on that road trip and I'm going towards my destination, it is my moment of zen. I am not against the car. I am against commuting. Yeah.
And I really appreciate all the updates in cars. You know, my car has, it has the emergency stop if I happen to like not be paying attention when it's in front of me, and all the little sensors and things, which for me are very helpful. And I'm glad that they're there. And as I become older and more senile, there you go.
All right. I want to do, we're going to pause for a little bit of a break here, but we're not really going to go off air here. I want to play a little game with you too.
I love games.
I know you do.
You know I do.
I think, Maddie, you will enjoy this as well, given the fact that you were a radio host and a DJ. We are going to be playing some musical Jeopardy.
I'm a music snob. I can't wait to destroy you guys.
Well, okay. I'm not in it. It's between you two here. So,
all right, what are we doing here?
All right, I'm going to be playing the first few seconds of a musical clip. You got to answer in the name of a question. Hold on. And you have to answer, you have to provide the name of the artist and the song in order to win.
Just as the lawyer here, make sure you're not fouling up any royalty laws, please. Any
How do
IP?
We decide who gets to, do we have a raise our hand or like tap the?
I was going to go with the honk thing, but I fear you're going to go with your bing.
I'll stab you.
Oh, you got a honk honk?
I swear to God, I will stab you.
We'll do a honk honk.
Rudy does a bing.
I do a bing.
I'll do honk honk.
All right.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to go with the first one here.
Honk, honk.
Go ahead.
Blind melon, no rain.
Yeah, I agree.
Boom.
Make it hard.
Oh, okay.
Honk, Bing. Honk.
I heard Maddie.
Go ahead.
That is Rusted Root. And the song title is it On My Way?
Close. I'll give it to you. Okay. Send me on my way.
By the way, Rusted Root from Pittsburgh. I used to watch them every Friday night in Morgantown at the Nyabingi Dance Hall with a reggae band.
Yeah,
I love reggae.
So I know that band really well.
How close is Pittsburgh to Morgantown?
About an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
I picked that song knowing that Maddie's from West Virginia. This is Rusted Root territory over here. So cool. Okay. All right. Rudy, What's going on here? Are you coming to the show here?
You're playing crap. Play some punk rock.
Here we go.
Honk, honk.
Oh, Maddie again.
Is that Smashing Pumpkins?
Smashing Pumpkins.
And
1979.
The best song he's played today.
3-0 Maddie. Rudy.
Rudy, you gotta remember, I've worked in radio since I was 16 years old.
I don't mind getting my butt kicked on something. If I'm playing against a master, then that means I can only learn
Holy
and become
cow,
better.
Rudy, I was really hoping you would have put up some kind of fight here. Okay. All right. I'll do one more unless Rudy can show up here. Hold on. All right, here we go.
Who is that? Julio Iglesias?
No, it's reggae.
No, that would be reggaeton.
I don't know who is it.
You don't know who that is. That is Matisse Yahu, a king without a crown. A king without its crown.
Matsuyuhi.
No, Matisse Yahu. Just Matisse Yahu.
Sure?
Reggae. He's a Yiddish Jewish dude.
I know who he is.
Oh yeah, that
really
guy.
Good beatboxer.
He is.
Oh, that's fine.
That
he's
is
incredibly
that's
talented.
Part of my that's one of my favorite albums of all time, his Live at Stubbs.
So, here's something about me that you probably should know since we're becoming friends. I don't listen to music that was made after the year 2000.
I don't really either, except for I have to sometimes.
Well, then,
so
yeah,
I can tell you
unfair
like
advantage.
All the things that are out right now.
Okay. Anyhow. Well, Mandy, so I guess let's kind of wrap this up here.
Yeah, guys, my phone's blowing up here. Let's do that.
We will.
So, let's wrap up again. Tell us why is podcasting the future of in-car entertainment?
I don't know if it's the I think it's part of the future of in-car entertainment, and I think that it speaks to the I think as people spend more time in cars, with traffic,
which I hope they don't.
Yeah, no. But as they do, it provides companionship and education, and as you know, we're seeing with our local radio hosts now who are transitioning and doing a lot of podcasts. You can find good local content that speaks to you and that's not homogenized national content.
Hmm. Rudy, do you have any further thoughts on that?
My thought is that the future is podcasts because people do want. People are interested in learning. I mean, we're in the information age. The internet exploded the access to information. You don't need to go to the library anymore. You can get information on anything that you want at your fingertips. And the great thing about podcasts is if you want to become a master at something, guess what? There's probably somebody out there that is a master that has a podcast. The future of entertainment, I believe a component of the future of education is podcasting.
Well, listeners, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Wisco Weekly. Maddie, how can people follow you, sir?
Thank you. Thanks for plugging me. I am at Maddie Stout, MattyStaU, D as in dog, T as in Tom, on everything.
Well, Maddie, thank you, sir, for coming and dropping some
serious knowledge, man.
Really? I feel
some
so good.
Goddamn knowledge.
You got a lot of knowledge, man. You're an expert in your field, and you've got just the world ahead of you in this area,
wow.
Man. I'm serious.
Good.
Well, listeners, tune in to another episode of Wisco Weekly. As we end every episode, cheers. Prost, l'chaim, kipis, nastravi, salut, kampai, mabruk, tutsins, gambe, yamas to the customer experience.